Welcome to Resonant, a science fiction podcast from StoryOmniverse.com. This story is titled, The Deceiver's Silence, Tacheron's Hidden Motive. Step through the pulse and journey with us into worlds beyond. Chapter 1, Silent Landing. The phase corridor's golden cyan braid shimmered out of existence behind TRU-1, leaving the world of Tacheron eerily still. Commander Elian Voss led the way, boots pressing into the spongy mats of floating kelp. The expected resonance chime, a constant on every previous arrival, was absent. Voss paused, tension building in the quiet, and signaled his team forward. Gravestone to Oracle, status. Voss's voice, low and clipped, broke the hush. Dr. Sarah Lynn's reply came with a faint delay, her tone uncertain. Nominal readings, Commander. But there's an odd echo beneath the baseline pulse, almost a second heartbeat. Lieutenant Nyra Dell, eyes scanning her navigation tablet, nodded. I'm seeing drift in the harmonic band. It's subtle, but the resonance isn't clean. Corporal Jace Moran, grinning despite the tension, pushed aside a tangle of kelp. Maybe the place just likes its peace quiet, he quipped, trying to lighten the mood. The floating kelp forest stretched in all directions, thick stalks swaying in a temperate breeze. Sunlight fell in golden beams through the canopy, highlighting patches of briny ground and shallow freshwater pools. Every motion seemed to echo in the silence. Voss's gaze swept the team. Lynn crouched already, sketchbook open, recording glyphs she saw in the interwoven kelp patterns. Nyra adjusted her resonance hood, whispering calculations under her breath. Jace flicked his eyes between the shadows, restless. Stay sharp, Voss said. If there's an anomaly, it's not just technical. They advanced, boots pressing down microplates that hovered centimeters above the surface, the ground shifting unpredictably underfoot. The air was rich with salt and unfamiliar minerals. Voss felt the weight of command. Any misstep here could strand them, or worse. As they moved deeper, a feeling settled over the group. A routine mission, yes, but with something watching from just out of sight. In the absence of the familiar resonance hum, discomfort became their new companion. Chapter 2, Twisted Shelter. The team pressed deeper beneath the kelp canopy, marine prop guards brushing aside thick, buoyant strands. The silence seemed alive, pressing in around them, until a faint, harmonic echo rippled through the comms, a low, irregular pulse that set Voss on edge. Oracle, confirm anomaly pattern, Voss ordered. Dr. Lynn glanced up, brow furrowed. It's like we're hearing our own pulse, but reflected. A mimic, not a match. No sign of corridor instability. But I don't trust it. Nyra checked her nav plotter, jaw tight. Harmonic drift is still within tolerance, but something's piggybacking on our signal. It's copying us. Jace swung his scanner in a slow arc, pausing near a dense tangle ahead. Commander, got something. Looks like a shelter. Kelp woven with metal fragments, recent tool marks. They approached cautiously. The structure sat low, half collapsed, with scattered belongings. A primitive knife. A bundle of dried fruit, a length of dyed cord, no inhabitants. Signs of quick departure, Jace observed, crouching to examine a set of humanoid footprints leading away from the site. Tracks are fresh, headed lakeside. Voss's instincts prickled. We're not alone here. No sudden moves. Eyes open. As they circled the shelter, Lynn ran her scanner over a set of strange symbols carved into a kelp stalk. These patterns, almost like Niari glyphs, but not quite. Something's imitating their language. Badly, Nyra's voice was barely above a whisper. Someone wants us to think Niari are here. The realization settled heavily. Voss gave the silent signal to regroup and move toward the lake, following the tracks. A sense of being watched grew, each step echoing with the possibility of deception. Behind them, the kelp swayed in a pattern that looked almost deliberate, like a message or a warning. routine had given way to uncertainty, and the silence had become a riddle waiting to be solved. Chapter 3. Shadows on the Water. Dappled light flickered across the freshwater lake, its surface glassy and still. Voss motioned the team to fan out along the shore, every sense straining for signs of movement. Jace knelt beside the water, analyzing a discarded drinking vessel. Handmade, still damp. He looked up, scanning the far bank. Whoever left it was here minutes ago. Lynn's gaze fell on a cluster of floating microplates that bobbed in the gentle current. These shouldn't be this close to the surface. The lake bed's magnetic field is fluctuating. As Neera adjusted her lay trace scanner, a faint vibration tickled through her boots, a harmonic echo, slightly out of phase with their equipment. Suddenly, a figure darted between the kelp shadows on the opposite bank. Voss's hand shot up. Halt. The team crouched, barely breathing, as the shape resolved. Tall, humanoid, draped in kelp, its features shrouded. Niari? Jace whispered. Lynn shook her head. The proportions are off. That's not their gait. The figure paused, glancing back at them with eyes that reflected the sunlight with uncanny precision. Then it turned and vanished into the dense kelp. Voss's pulse quickened. No pursuit. They want us to follow. Neera scanned for resonance signatures. Still getting that echo, the same one as before, but now it's mobile. Ling scribbled a symbol in her sketchbook, eyes wide. That's not Niari's script at all. It's a mimic, designed to trick us. The discomfort of routine deepened. Standard first contact protocols now felt hollow in the face of something that wore a mask of familiarity. Voss gave the signal to advance, slower, more cautiously than before. They pressed on, the oppressive silence broken only by the soft slap of boots on floating microplates and the distant, mocking echo of their own comms. Something was luring them, and it knew exactly how to do it. Chapter 4. The Deceiver Revealed. Cresting a low ridge, the team found themselves staring at a clearing where the kelp thinned, revealing a circle of stones and artifacts. At its center sat the figure from the lake, now clearly visible. Its skin shimmered with fractal patterns, mimicking Niari bioluminescence. But up close, the effect was uncanny, almost too perfect. Voss motioned for the team to hold. "Identify yourself," he called, voice steady but loud enough to carry. The figure rose, moving with an eerie, fluid grace. "We are the custodians," it intoned, its voice layered and resonant. "The balance must be maintained." Lynn's scanner beeped, reading out Niari biological markers, except the sequence stuttered, as if the signal was being overwritten. Jace's hand drifted to his sidearm, tension knotting his jaw. "Doesn't feel right, Commander." Voss nodded subtly. "Maintain protocol, but don't relax." The being approached, stopping just short of the stones. "Earth's explorers disturb the peace. You must restore the balance, return the artifact." Lynn stepped forward, eyes narrowed. "What artifact? Why mimic Niari form?" It hesitated, face flickering, the pattern shifting as if recalibrating. "All must match. Resonance must echo. You bring imbalance." Naira's scanner pinged. "Commander, this isn't a true Niari signature. It's a resonance mimic, adapting to our expectations. It's learning from us." The figure's eyes flashed. "We only wish for harmony. Return the key and leave." A chill ran through the team. Voss steadied his voice. "We need to see the artifact. No negotiation without understanding." The mimic's form wavered, then solidified. "Follow, but hurry. Resonance is failing." The sense of routine had shattered. Deception was no longer theory. It stood before them, wearing a familiar face, and demanded their trust. Chapter 5. The Lure of the Artifact. Guided by the Mimic, TRU-1 threaded through twisted kelp corridors until they reached a shallow basin. There, half buried in mineral sand, lay an artifact, smooth, metallic, inscribed with intertwined glyphs that shimmered in the dappled light. Lin knelt, scanner poised, but stopped short. It's broadcasting on our harmonic frequency, almost as if it's calling to us. Jace circled, watching both the artifact and their escort. That thing's been tuned to our gear. Looks like it's been messed with. Scrapes, new markings. Nyra's lay trace scanner mapped a halo of ghost resonance around the device. It's amplifying corridor echoes. Could be why the braid's unstable. The mimic hovered at the edge of the basin, its form flickering in and out of phase. Return the key. Restore what you have broken. Lin looked up, brow furrowed. We didn't bring this. Did you take it from the corridor? The mimic's response was a confused, layered cacophony. It was lost. It called. We answered. Voss stepped forward, addressing his team quietly. This isn't a sentient Niari. It's a native, or maybe an automated construct, using resonance to mimic. We're seeing an advanced form of deception, maybe even defensive. Jace prodded the ground near the artifact, careful not to touch it. You think it's trying to protect itself, or lure us into a trap? Nyra shook her head. It wants us to fix something, but doesn't know how. That's why it's copying the Niari. It associates them with stability. Lin nodded. We need to analyze the artifact, see if we can break the feedback loop and stabilize the corridor. Voss weighed the risks. Proceed, but watch for interference. As Lin and Nyra set up instruments, the mimic circled warily. Its deception was incomplete but persistent, its motives tangled and unclear. The artifact pulsed beneath the sand, its call echoing through the braided silence. Chapter 6, Illusions and Insight. Lin's scanner synchronized with the artifact. A synchronized pulse rippled through the camp. Suddenly, each team member experienced a jarring hallucination. Visions of the corridor collapsing, of being endlessly lost in the kelp, of Niari figures beckoning them deeper. Jace staggered, jaw clenched. Commander, it's in my head. Can't tell what's real. Voss steadied himself, forcing clarity. Shields up, back to back, tight formation. His voice, calm and purposeful, anchored the team. Nyra, eyes squeezed shut, recited equations under her breath, grounding herself in logic. It's using our own resonance signals, feeding on our expectations. That's how it mimics. Lin forced herself to focus on the artifact's harmonic signature. There's a sublayer, hidden beneath the main frequency, almost like a coded distress call, but jumbled. The mimic, sensing their distress, flickered rapidly, its voice becoming a muddle of Niari phrases and faint echoes of the team's own words. Voss ordered. Oracle, Drift, can you isolate the subharmonic? If we can disrupt the feedback, maybe we can break the illusion. Nyra's fingers danced over her controls. If we invert the waveform, it should cancel the projection, at least temporarily. Lin nodded. Ready on your mark. Voss counted down. 3, 2, 1. Lin triggered the disruption protocol. A sharp, dissonant hum filled the air. And in a blink, the hallucination snapped away. The mimic recoiled, its form destabilizing, then reassembling into a more neutral, ambiguous shape. No longer Niari, but not themselves either. Jace exhaled, tension draining from his frame. Remind me never to trust anything that looks too familiar. Voss's gaze lingered on the mimic. Deception wasn't malicious, it's survival. It thought we could fix what it couldn't understand. Lynn knelt beside the artifact. We're getting through. Its projections are defensive, not predatory. The team, shaken but resolute, gathered themselves. They now saw the deeper truth. Sometimes a lie is not an attack, but a cry for help in a language no one's taught you to speak. Chapter 7: Tuning the Broken Key. With the mimic pacified, Lynn and Nyra set to work on the artifact. Its resonance field thrummed, fluctuating between stable and chaotic, a harmonic seesaw that threatened their only route home. "Drift, patch me into the artifact's control layer," Lynn said, her voice steady but urgent. Nyra rerouted her console. "Got it. Strong crosstalk with the corridor's harmonic. If the feedback spikes, we could lose our return path." Jace planted himself at the perimeter, watching both the mimic and the kelp shadows. "Just say if you need me to break anything," he muttered, half serious. Lynn probed the artifact's surface, deciphering the interwoven glyphs. "It's a stabilizer, probably Niari in origin, but it's been jury-rigged by something else. That's what's causing the mimicry and the pulse distortion." Voss nodded, his mind racing. "If we can isolate the original Niari code, maybe we can reset the artifact and stabilize the corridor." Nyra worked quickly, matching harmonic patterns. "Found a residual signature, untouched by the mimic. I can overlay it, but there's a risk of surge." Lynn hesitated only a moment. "It's our best shot." Together, they triggered the harmonic reset. The artifact pulsed, the field around it collapsing and then snapping back into a sharper, cleaner rhythm. The mimic, caught in the energy, shimmered wildly before coalescing into a neutral, almost featureless form. Voss exhaled, relief flooding him. "Corridor reads as stable. Echoes have stopped." The mimic inclined its head, a gesture of gratitude, or perhaps simple recognition. Jace grinned. "Maybe we just gave it a new mask." The team shared a quiet moment. The artifact's deception had been survival, not sabotage, and repairing it had restored balance to both their mission and the troubled world beneath their feet. Chapter 8: Complications Unveiled. Suddenly, Lynn's scanner blared a warning. "Commander, artifact's output is spiking. We've got a field feedback loop. Power's building." Voss's composure held, but urgency crept into his tone. "Drift, Oracle, status on the corridor." Nyra's console blinked red. "Return corridor is now unstable. If we don't dampen the artifact, we'll lose our window." The mimic, sensing the change, became agitated, flickering from form to form in confusion. Its resonance field began to distort, pulling at the kelp around it. Jace stepped forward, voice strained. "If that thing blows, it'll take the corridor with it." Lynn acted fast, initiating a manual shutdown. "If I bleed power through the artifact's secondary channel, we might be able to force a safe collapse." Voss locked eyes with Nyra. "Time to abort. Prep emergency extraction." Nyra nodded, fingers flying. "Shifting corridor harmonics to standby. 40 seconds to window closure." The mimic wailed, its voice a jumble of Nyri phrases and a desperate plea for stability. Jace held his ground, hand ready on the emergency recall switch. "All set." Lynn rerouted the artifact's energy, her hands steady despite the rising tension. "Almost. Got it. There." The artifact's pulse dropped, the feedback loop dissipating. The corridor's return signal blinked green, barely stable, but viable. The mimic, now drained, slumped into the sand, form flickering between shapes, but offering no resistance. Voss gave the final command. "True One, fall back, now." As they hustled toward the corridor's projected coordinates, the sense of unease faded, replaced by the cold focus of mission abort. Sometimes, survival meant knowing when to cut losses and leave mysteries for another day. Chapter 9, Extraction and Reflection. True One reached the phase corridor as the last filaments began to unravel. Voss counted heads. Everyone was present, gear intact. Nyra initiated the pulse recall, the corridor stabilizing just long enough for one clean extraction. As the team stepped through, the familiar chill of the resonant convergence chamber washed over them, the pulse braid shutting with a soft, final chime. They stood in silence for a heartbeat, the weight of what had almost happened settling in. Back in Fort Resonance, the debrief was brisk but thorough. Lynn secured a full data dump from her scans, while Nyra submitted a detailed report on the corridor's instability and the artifact's mimicry. Jace, uncharacteristically quiet, checked the gear for hidden resonance residue. General Ayla Saren listened, her expression grave. No physical harm, but clear evidence of attempted deception, species or autonomous construct. No breach of pulse protocols, but artifact analysis is now top priority. Voss summarized the lesson. The mimic's intent wasn't hostile. It copied the Nyri because it associated them with repair and stability. Our own presence, routine as it was, became the hook for its plea. Lynn nodded, adding, "Its hallucinations were calls for help, not attacks." We answered, but the system wasn't ready for our fix. General Saren closed the file. Mission aborted. No further risk. Artifact containment protocols in effect. Stand down. Later, in the team lounge, the silence that had haunted them on Tachyron seemed gentler. Voss looked around at his team. Each of them changed, if only a little. Sometimes the most dangerous deceptions are born of desperation, not malice. And sometimes the only way to restore balance is to listen to the silence beneath the echo. Chapter 10, Debrief and Return. The artifact, secured and isolated in the vault, would be tested, its layers of mimicry painstakingly mapped. Fort Resonance's engineers would debate whether it was a malfunctioning Nyari device, a native intelligence reaching out, or something else entirely. Voss filed his report, detailing every step, every hesitation, every minor failure. He emphasized the subtle shifts, the discomfort in routine, the sense of being watched, the way the mission's apparent normalcy had masked a deeper confusion. Lynn, reviewing her notes, discovered a fragment of resonance code embedded in the artifact's recordings. A looping, incomplete message. It wanted to be understood, she told the others. It tried every trick it knew to get our attention. Nyra's navigation logs would become case studies in harmonic drift. How a simple calibration error could signal a deeper problem or a desperate plea. Jace, back to his usual self, cracked a tired grin. All that drama, and in the end, it was just an equipment glitch that saved our skins. Voss smiled, but the edge hadn't left his eyes. We survived because we didn't assume routine meant safety. Next time, we'll listen harder, even to silence. As the team dispersed, each carried away a fragment of the echo, a reminder that the layweb, for all its science and protocol, was still a place of mystery. And sometimes, the greatest threat was not a predator, but a plea wearing a borrowed face, a tranquil floating kelp forest beneath open skies on another world. Sunlight filters through huge buoyant strands and glints on calm freshwater lakes, evoking peace and underlying mystery. TRU-1 faces deception and hidden motives in a silent kelp world, where routine is upended by mimicry and misunderstanding. In this resonance exploration story of subtle threat and redemptive closure, you've been listening to Resonant, part of StoryOmniverse.com. The pulse fades for now, but another world awaits discovery.